Welcome to How to Study in Germany, a podcast made for and by international students. Listen for not only inspiration from personal stories of other students and alumni community, but also from advices from experts in the fields of language learning, university application, career orientation, housing, and more. Today, get to know the journey of Karolina. Hailing from Wrocław, Poland, her adventure began with an Erasmus semester at Leuven University during her communication design bachelor studies. Falling in love with the university and culture, she returned to pursue a master's degree and learn the language. But that's just part of the story. Karolina's career is equally intriguing, with roles at the Elbphilharmonie Hamburg or her current position as an academic coordinator at the European Center of Advanced Studies. Stay with us to discover more about her aspirations and unique path.
My name is Karolina and I come from Poland, from Wrocław to be precise. Wrocław is a beautiful city, roughly 150 kilometers from the German border, so it's not that far.
And there's actually a lot of German tourists there, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they when they're visiting Wrocław, they basically feel at home, right? They're
I think so.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm currently working at as an academic coordinator at the European Center for Advanced Studies, so here at Leuven, essentially. And I obtained my master's degree in culture, arts and media about a year ago already.
And how did your journey start? What led you to study abroad and why in Germany?
Well, I've started my journey, so to say, with a higher education back in 2013. So, oh my God, almost a decade ago. So, you know, it's all kind of random when I think about it. So when I was in high school, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I kind of had this feeling that I want to study abroad, but it didn't really have a shape back then. So I thought, well, it could be kind of tricky to apply directly for a bachelor's abroad. So I thought, well, I will start studying in Wrocław. I will see what I go from there. And I knew about this Erasmus program.
Mm-hmm. So when you were starting your bachelor, you already had a plan to actually go abroad?
Yeah, I mean, it was so sort of like a, you know, like an idea like forming in my head. I want to do it, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't determined because I didn't know exactly how to get into the program, you know, if that's even possible for just about anybody in just about any study program. So it really was just, I thought I would like to do it. I knew somebody who did it already. But again, it was just an idea. So when I started studying communication design at the University of Wrocław, I very quickly was introduced to the Erasmus program. Because, I mean, it's a great opportunity for, in the end, just about any student. So universities are very happy to, you know, push this program onto their students. And international offices are just, you know, kind of making sure that you're informed, that you've seen the flyer, that they have people applying for it. So in that regard, it was very easy. And I applied in my first year. So I was applying for the second year. And you ask why Germany? Well, it was kind of, I mean, it's not that it was random, but Germany actually wasn't my first choice.
Who was the biggest competitor to Germany?
Well, you know, back then I had this unhealthy hyperfixation on the UK. And I thought, if I'm going to go somewhere, it's going to be UK. You know, I was obsessed with Sherlock Holmes, Doctor Who. That's my way to go.
Yeah, but I completely understand it. I had the same. I actually started from UK. I also went to study abroad there first and then decided to go to Germany because of a very simple reason, which is tuition fees.
Yeah.
Because in UK, it's like £10,000 per year, something like that.
That's what I was also thinking before I started my bachelor's, right? Like, okay, technically I could apply, but as you said, tuition fees, kind of crazy to think about. And Erasmus is, you know, was this great opportunity that it's essentially a studying grant, right? And I don't know how much money you get now, but back in the day, it was really dependent on the country that you would travel to. But these weren't like crucial differences. I think I got, for my semester in Germany, I think I got €2,000. So it really doesn't sound like much, but It was, it was like 8 years ago. So, you know, three inflations ago. When I was applying, I was kind of, you know, I didn't really think about it because I didn't know if I'm going to like it. So I thought one semester is just about enough. But it turned out loving my Erasmus, and I was regretting it a lot that I couldn't extend it. But, you know, in the end, during this Erasmus, since I liked it so much, like this international experience, I sort of made a decision that I'm going to finish my bachelor's and then come back to Germany to pursue the master's degree. So, it wasn't that dramatic in the end.
And it was the same university that you went for Erasmus was the one you went for your master's, so Leuphana University. That's interesting. Were you applying to any others, or you just really liked that one that much?
No, I actually did apply to different ones. Applied to Leuphana for cultural studies or cultural arts and media. So that's basically what I then end up doing. But I also applied to the University of Hamburg to study something with journalism. But I really wasn't too much into it. But I looking at the programs and was trying to choose a consecutive one to my bachelor in communication design, and it wasn't really that much to choose from. So this sort of journalism program kind of connected. But yeah, I wasn't too beaten about it when I didn't get a spot there. And I also applied to University of Kassel. Oh, yeah, I think that's the name in English for it. And I got into architecture studies. So I thought, you know what, I have one bachelor, but so what? Let me do another one in a completely different direction. Why not? But then, yeah, I kind of reevaluated it in the few years now. Let's just go with masters. Let's not go back in the end. And there's so many architects in Germany. It feels like every second person is studying it.
Now, what was your master's in, actually? What's the name of the degree?
Culture, arts, and media.
That you studied.
And I had, of course, a major and minor. I think right now there is a different name for that study program, because I even looked it up before our recording, and yeah, it's a different name for it right now.
I think so. Was it in English?
It was
or
actually
in German?
In both languages. So the major was in English, and the minor was in German. That's why I needed to prove the proficiency in both languages. But I got to write my master's thesis in English. So that was cool. I didn't have to do it in German.
So how did you learn
in
German?
Polish schools, German is, I think, still the third or the second most popular foreign language that you learn, I think. The first is always English, and then the second is either German or French or whatever. But I think German is still the second most popular. So I essentially started having German classes around seventh grade now when I think about it. But I didn't learn much in school, honestly. In the contrary to English, right? Because English was great. Everyone was focused on English. I had English since kindergarten. But then, you know, we started learning German and for the whole 6 years, basically, it was just how to introduce yourself and what is your favorite color. And that's it.
Right. That's so true. Yes. I remember the same with my English language education in Poland. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, even when I applied for Erasmus in Germany, I still didn't need German per se, because I was doing classes in English. I was communicating with other Erasmus students in English. University took such great care of us that if we needed, you know, of course we needed insurance, we needed bank accounts, etc. You have all these services on campus, and people speak English there too. So why on earth would I learn German? It's such a difficult language, especially if, you know, if your mother tongue is something completely different as Polish. Like you can,
yes, exactly.
It's just there's no logic to it. If you try, like, yeah, absolutely right. So like, why would I care? Like, why would I do something that's so difficult if I don't need it? Well, turns out I need it, because if I wanted to pursue a master's degree, I had to learn German on the C1 level, which is hella difficult if you want to do it within like 2 years or something, because you only had this very basic knowledge of like how to introduce yourself. So when I got back after Erasmus, when I got back to Wrocław to finish my bachelor's, I started attending German classes at a university, and there were like additional language classes. And that was really the first time when I had the best teacher ever. She was super invested in like really teaching us, because I think her understanding was, if somebody at the university level is taking language classes, then they must really want to learn it. So she was really doing her best to explain it. And I must say that was the time when I finally understood sort of the grammatics and thought, okay, well, you know what? I guess it's doable. I guess I can learn it. But it still wasn't enough. Of course, I got my certificate, but it wasn't C1. It was, I think, B1 after that. And I moved to Germany. Yeah, and it wasn't enough to get into my studies. So I had a year break between bachelor's and then after graduating from bachelor studies and starting master studies. And I needed this year, or I used this year, for working full time and just really like immersing myself into culture and into, you know, communicating with people every day, because essentially, as I said, I was working, so I was forced to, one way or another, yeah, communicate with people, and people speaking different, with different accents, with different dialects. And, you know, this is really how you learn the language, in my opinion, in the most sort of sufficient and sustainable way.
In just 1 year, you leveled up your B1 German to C1.
Yeah.
Wow. And you didn't do it in a like language school, but just by working on a full-time position.
I had a crash course, but you know, crash course, it's like a month. I think it was a month and a half. And it really was, I think I was having classes almost every day. It really was very intense. And it was great. It was a small group of, I don't know, 5 people. And I did in Hamburg, so it was a German school. But yeah, no, really, honestly, just working really made a difference for me. Because you find yourself in the situations when, you have to communicate. Like, you know, you have to sort of connect the dots. And also what helped me is, when you're in a school setting, on a language course or whatever, you always have the time to like think about the grammatic and etc. And you have this feeling that you have to really prepare what you're going to say in your mind first, so to make sure that it's really correct. Whereas when you're speaking with somebody in a job setting or on the street or whatever, sometimes you don't have time to like, you know, get into your head and just figure, okay, is it dative? Is it genitive now? Or whatever, you know, you just have to say something. So that helped me sort of get rid of, this kind of fear of saying something wrong. I mean, it's just my opinion, but I think German people really don't care. They are aware how difficult the language is, and they have so many foreigners here. I think they're used to people not always speaking in the exactly book-like correct way. And honestly, if somebody would approach me in Poland and try to, as a foreigner, and try to say something to me in Polish, like, I wouldn't judge them for making mistake upon mistake, right? Because I know language is difficult, so.
Okay, to sum it up, what you just said, you have both a bachelor in communication design and a master's degree in culture, arts and media. That's why I wanted to ask you, how has your educational background influenced your career path and your current role?
Worked during my studies. So when I was pursuing a bachelor's degree in Wrocław, I worked at a national form of music, but it was just some sort of like a student job.
What were you doing there exactly?
I was in so-called audience and artist service. And I don't know, if you go to a philharmonic or an opera or whatever, you always have these very unassuming looking people dressed all in black in the back of the concert hall, just standing by the door. So they are there for confused guests who are looking for their seat, for example. These people, these unassuming people dressed in black, are there to help you find your seat, for example. But at the same time, they're also there to answer all the possible questions you might have about the concert or the artist or whatsoever. And also at the end of the concert, we are also the people that have the honor to bring flowers to a conductor or the soloist or whatever. It was really very little work and a lot of fun. You know, I was able to get into all these concerts and I was paid for it.
That sounds really fun, actually.
That was awesome. Yeah. So I missed that a lot when I moved to Hamburg. And as I mentioned, I worked full-time for a year to sort of immerse myself and into the culture and kind of, you know, better my language skills. But I did that in a software startup. So it was a completely different sector, right? Yeah, but it was a lot to do with people, with talking, so that served the purpose of, again, learning the language. But then I quickly noticed, well, I'm missing this sort of like behind the curtain, exclusive access to culture. So that's why I started working on the famous Elbphilharmonie, doing basically the same as I did in the National Form Music. It was much more, I don't want to say serious, but it was, well, Elbphilharmonie is kind of fancy. I mean, kind of, to say the least, right? A National Form of Music, for example, we were able to wear our own clothes. Of course, it had to be. I mean, they didn't have to be black, but that was like an official dress code. You know, elegant, but still kind of casual. Whereas in the Elbphilharmonie, everyone got it was a kind of a uniform that we all got. We got frocks and we got shoes. And really? Yeah, honestly, it was crazy. I had to go to this tailor at the Jungfernstieg.
Yeah,
it was crazy. So I got these tailored pants and this jacket, and it was fun. But at the same time, pressure was there, sort of, because I started working there shortly after they opened it. So there were so many people visiting it. So you didn't really have a minute to yourself, because everyone was, like, whatever they saw us in these uniforms, they were approaching us and act and asking about God knows what, you know. Can I see this or that if I look, I don't know, through that window? Like, how am I supposed to know? Questions like that. So it was a very weird place to work at. And you weren't always allowed to listen in on the concert. So they
really?
Didn't, they, yeah, they would leave, they would let maybe two or three people enter the concert hall, and that was it, and the rest had to stay outside, which, I mean, come on. That was pretty lame. They didn't have to do it.
Yeah, that does sound lame indeed, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, right? I mean, and it's, once these doors are closed, they are sealed. You cannot hear anything if you're behind it. And in the National Form of Music, back in the days, it was, I don't know how it is now, but I suppose there's still great people working there, so I suppose it's still pretty nice. Yeah, everyone could listen in. Of course, we had to make sure that somebody is outside of the door in case there's some sort of a lost guest trying to enter the, you know, leaving the toilet and trying to enter the concert hall during the most epic moment of the concerto, like, and you cannot let them in, right? Yeah, but anyway, both of these experiences were fun. Long story short, they had nothing to do with my current role, or like maybe a little bit, because right now I'm managing a fellowship program and I'm organizing conferences for it. So it's, you know, it's a lot of, I have a lot to do with people again, but it's like managing, I don't want to say human resources, it's not. I'm taking care of our fellows. Yeah, and in these previous jobs, in these, you know, cultural institutions, Elbphilharmonie or National Form of Music, I wasn't managing any events myself, but I got to work with people who were managing them. So I still, you know, got to sort of see, to some degree, of course, how it's being done. Once I saw that there is an opening at ECAS, I just went for it. Yes. But I also always had this feeling that I want to work in the academia. Like I always wanted to stay in this sector. You know, there are not that many openings at the university anyway. So if there is something that you like, just go for it. And so this is what I did. Essentially, I started working on ECAS as a graduate assistant, so towards the end of my studies, actually. And then after I graduated, they offered me the position of the academic coordinator. So, of course, I was There's no question if I'm going to take it. Duh.
Of course. So these roles that you just described are very varied. Is there maybe like one skill or quality you've developed and that you believe has been crucial to your success in those?
I mean, I sure hope that one day I'll be able to like look back at this and think like, yeah, well, you know what? That was the beginning of my awesome career. But I don't know. I mean, I'm still, again, I guess.
Let's hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thanks.
It can always get worse.
That's so Polish, honestly.
Yeah, that's very optimistic.
Yeah, I think there are like two skills that I cannot think of. First, you obviously have to be organized, for sure. I mean, if you want to manage your professional life and your student life and your personal life and whatsoever, like you have to, I think, develop some sort of a organizational or management system for yourself. Otherwise, you would just drown in it. Like you will stop losing side of deadlines and everything. So that is for sure what I had to come up with for myself, like a very early on realize, okay, I need a proper system. Just putting things on post-it is not helping. So for sure, being organized. And the second thing is, I would say, is being self-driven or maybe self-disciplined somewhat. Because, I mean, I can only speak from my experience, of course, but I found out that once you are living abroad, you kind of, well, you are away from your default support system, so to say, from your closest family, from your friends unit. And so there is nobody to directly like check on you and tell you, well, I see you're doing well, you know, or like, don't worry, you're doing great. Take your time. You don't stress about completing all these modules, for example, this semester. Like you can move this module to another semester. Nothing will happen, right? Like, it's not the end of the world. So you take your time. And again, there's nothing, nobody had maybe the same or similar background to yours that maybe had the similar educational path to yours, because all of these people are back in your home country, kind of, because these educational systems do differ a little bit every now and then. So again, there's nobody that you can look at and think, okay, well, they're also moving their modules or classes to the next semester. I guess it's custom. I guess it's fine. Visiting your hometown and meeting with your friends back home, for example, quickly discovered that maybe they seem to be a little bit ahead of you. So well, they're done with their studies already. They're working full time. I mean, to be right, they're home. Yeah, right? Yeah. And I think this is when this like being self-driven or self-disciplined kind of kicks in. Because then you have to remind yourself, well, it may seem like I'm behind, but really I'm not, because my path changed, right? We walked similar path to some point, and then I left, I moved abroad. And guess what? I had so many other steps on my path, right, that I had to complete. Like I had to learn the foreign language. I mean, I moved abroad. I had to learn the foreign language. I'm studying, pursuing this advanced degree in not one, but two foreign languages, for example, working on the side. I mean, it's not easy to, you know, connect it all. And of course, you just need a little bit more time. So this is also what I struggled a little bit with, because I thought, I mean, come on, how are they done already? You know, why did I take so long? It was annoying me. But then I just needed this like reality check, like, okay, whatever. You know, honestly, I'm the only one keeping tabs on my steps. Nobody else cares how much time I take to finish my degree.
You're taking your own time. True.
Yeah, you do you. That's my advice.
And have these challenges perhaps shaped your character?
Yeah, I've become, I think, very, maybe not very, but to some degree resilient to any challenges now that I'm facing. Let it be in professional life, let it be in studying or whatever. It just always, like, always have to, like, check myself or, like, level myself and look back at what I've achieved. Rather, what I've been through, sort of, what I've managed to overcome. And then, yeah, and just helps me realize that, you know what, nothing's too bad or, like, too difficult to deal with. You just have to kind of find a way to solve the problem. And just, you know, this applies to my job, too, and I think to any other job, honestly. You just have to create a system of problem solving for yourself. And, yeah. You know, if it works and, you know.
And coming back to, yeah, what you just mentioned previously, the job, I wanted to ask you a question related to that. You about career aspirations. How do you see maybe some connection between your international study experience and those aspirations?
Yeah, I mean, it's all very intertwined, I think, because it works both ways for me in a way that my studies inspired me, of course, to pursue a career in academia. But at the same time, working in academia, I still feel very pulled towards studying. So, you know, great that I got master's, but now I'm actually in the process of applying for a PhD program at Leuphana. Because as I said, I just feel like...
You want to kind of eat a cookie and have a cookie, right? You work in academia and continue studying. That's cool, actually.
Never ending. Like, I aspire to always be a student.
Doesn't sound like a bad plan.
No, honestly, I feel like that's the thing for me. I've heard of people that take 10 years to finish their PhD, so...
Yeah, I also heard those always, stories.
Yeah, so maybe it's not that far-fetched if I'm saying that always be a student. I mean, other than that, I don't have any... when I was younger, of course, I had like very, very particular aspirations. Like, I want to have this title in that job. You know, at this point, I don't even remember what were the titles that I somewhat envisioned for myself. But it was something very particular, like a certain vision. And now I'm just, you know, I'm fine if I can be in academia, if I can do my stuff. Don't kick me out. I'm great. That's all that I need. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of always pulled towards gloomy places. So, as I mentioned, UK seems nice. I mean, Scotland. Yeah,
I mean,
Scotland.
If you like something gloomy, then that sounds like a perfect choice for you.
Right.
However, if you're going to look at the sky in Northern Germany right now, I think it's gloomy enough.
Yeah, I mean, Hamburg is hella gloomy. But, you know, my job requires me to visit Scotland every now and then.
Really? And
it's perfectly gloomy there. It's really nice, yeah. So the moment they say, you know what, we need somebody in Scotland, I'll be like, my back's up.
That's me.
I'm going.
Know my name.
Yeah.
So you say that you want to maybe continue your studies by doing PhD at Leuphana. Does it mean you really liked your time here spent and your study program so far?
Yes. It was absolutely best time ever. I mean, no, sorry, Erasmus was the best time ever. Masters was great too. You know, you can try to compare these experiences, but they are fairly different. So as an international student pursuing an Erasmus program, you're part of this Erasmus community. Like, you are in this little international bubble. I've, for example, lived with 5 German students, so I had Germans at home. But international students in the campus, but there are many Erasmus students that live with each other, study with each other. They don't need, you know, they don't come out of this bubble. And so you have classes together, etc. It really is awesome. But during master's, in what was my experience with the culture, arts and media program, it was sort of a little bit isolating for an international student. Because I was quite often the only one, or maybe one or of 2 international students in a class. And it wasn't the end of the world. It was fine. But still, coming from, you know, having this Erasmus experience in the back of my head and then arriving to a master program thing, like, I mean, where are the people? Like, I saw them during the orientation day. Where do they go? And it turns out, I think they're all doing different programs, because that's what I've been told. On this opening week, whenever we were saying, okay, what programs are we're starting? And whenever I would say cultural studies, everyone was like, wait, what? That's so much reading. Why would you do it? So I guess that's why not that many people want to do it. Because, you know, going through that, like processing so much literature in not 1, but 2 foreign languages, yeah, it can be kind of challenging. So as much as, so, you know, I said it was isolating, but it wasn't isolating in a negative way. It was just very matter of fact, you know, that there was not that many other international students with me in the room. But other than that, yeah, it was still great. And I didn't think about moving to a different university, because I just like Leuphana so much. It has like a very specific vibe to it.
It does.
I don't know. Yeah. Right? it is so that you feel so welcome here. I don't know, like I've been at other universities and I have a feeling that every other university has a different feeling to it. And Leuphana is just so, like, I don't know, for me, I feel very quickly at home here, to not romanticize it too much. But I feel like the professors are great. The classes are on a very high level. Maybe I don't meet that many international students on my way, but you know, I'm here for myself. It's fine.
First.
Yeah, right. What also convinced me to apply here for a PhD, I mean, I'm in the process, I did not apply it, is that the Leuphana offers something called doctoral track. And this is what I wanted to do too. So start PhD studies during your master's already. But I kind of got a little bit, not cold feet, but in order to do so, I wanted to connect the topic of my master thesis with a potential PhD thesis. And I just thought, okay, I'm not educated, informed enough to make that decision just yet. Like maybe I should just first do the master thesis, see if I even at the end like the topic that I chose. Because what if I don't? Like, why would I connect it already, you know? So I found that really cool. And that's why when I graduated, I already had this idea of applying here anyway. And again, like through my work, I got sort of, you know, reassured in it. Again, it's just nice here.
Okay, and coming to my last question, actually.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for prospective international students that consider coming to Germany to study here or start their career?
Do not romanticize living abroad too much. It sounds like a cool idea when you're thinking about it. But, you know, once you're here, it requires a lot of work. But also, like, you have to really structure it mentally for yourself. Because you're going to face some challenges on your way that would be easier or wouldn't be considered challenges if you were facing them, if you would be dealing with them back in your hometown. It's everything has this sort of, like, difficulty to some degree to it when you're doing it abroad. So I think it's very important to really, to be somewhat prepared for it. But again, if you don't do it, you're not really prepared for it. You think you are. And then once you are here and kind of have no choice but to deal with it, you just find a way. There's that. It's not all, you know, roses. And it can be very, I don't want it to sound, to make it sound like it's depressed. It's not. It's awesome. I mean, it can be nice every now and then if you're very lucky, right? But otherwise, you know, learning the language again, just coming back to what I said earlier, if you think you're prepared because you took classes at your school, you know, good luck, but you still need to sort of check your skills in every day.
Yeah, I actually really like your answer. Thank you for that. Because I think I kind of was romanticizing the fact of going to study abroad and leave my life behind me. I'm becoming a new person.
Bye, losers.
My future, you know. But nah, not really. You can't really run away from the past, you know. You're still the same person with the same skills. And it is a new chapter, but it's not a new book, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well said. But also, it's kind of, for one say, maybe a brave thing to do. That's what my grandma always said and says, and I'm always cringing when I hear it.
I mean, it's true. It's for sure you need some courage to do that.
Yeah, right? It's not, because then, as I mentioned also earlier, you're leaving your support system behind.
Yes.
You just have to be like very self-sufficient, very independent, and kind of really self-assured, because your mom is not going to call the doctor main appointment for you anymore, right? That is awful, god-awful, but that's the reality.
That's the reality of studying abroad. No mom to cook for you.
No, ma'am.
And that's it from us for today. The episodes are available on our website podcast.leuphana.de, Spotify and iTunes. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.